This is the last in the series of Hearing from God, and we're just going to talk about blockages and hindrances to hearing from God. Like we've learned, God can speak to us in a lot of ways. He wants to speak to us. He wants to communicate. He wants to build a relationship with us so we can, be close to Him. He's our Father, and we're His children, and he wants us to know that He loves us and that we can love Him, we can trust Him. But there's things that we do where that causes us not to hear Him, that causes us to block what He's trying to say, and that's even in our own selves. Like, we're going to talk about, say, repentance and unforgiveness and unbelief will stop God hearing. Or we don't believe that He's speaking, so we just switch off, and we end up in places where they teach and preach that God doesn't speak, that the gifts are gone, that, or God only speaks to the high and mighty in the faith, in whatever religion that is, or whatever denomination, that is. And, there could be unbelief can lead us into deception, and there's lots of forms of deception, so many ways of deception, and deception doesn't mean that you won't hear from God. It means that there's a mingling, a mixture, and you're not discerning which is God and which isn't God, and we'll go through that. And in that, amongst that deception, there's even doctors, where we turn ourselves over to doctors, or we start putting our trust in man instead of in God, and we walk in impatience, and we don't give God time enough to speak or time enough to show us what He wants us to do. Yeah, so there's deception and there's rebellion. And when we do hear from God, but we don't do what He says, we don't do what He wants us to do, even to the point of not doing it at all, or only half doing it, or not doing it right. And I know there's a lot of grace. I know there's a lot of after Jesus came, and that if we keep repenting of our sins, I know there's rebellion. If God tells us to do something and we don't do it, then that's as far as we get. We don't get any further. It's like when He reveals a sin that we got to repent of, or someone we got to forgive, or, something that we got to get out of because it's doing us harm, or deception or delusion, whatever it is. When we only half do it or don't do it, it's like a rubber band tied to us. And when we try to move forward, it keeps pulling us back. And if we want to get around that area where we're rebelling or sinning or whatever, we can't. That's the extent of how far we're going to get in our walk. And if God's told us time and time again, He'll stop talking to us. He'll just let us, if we just ignore Him, then He won't bother talking. There's delusion where we get different spirits in us, a different gospel, a different spirit, another Jesus, where we start hearing from them and they're talking, and we know that God can speak, but we've turned ourselves over to deception and to the lusts of our flesh or our wrong motives, and we're listening to the devil speak instead of God, and we're enjoying what He says because it builds us up. It builds us up in self-promotion, self-righteousness, self-seeking. It's all about the self, and we haven't got the discernment to understand that, and we're so, we're carried away in that delusion that we're something when we're nothing. And we'll go through money, the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money can bring in that deception and delusion and sin when we're serving mammon instead of Jesus, when we're chasing money, chasing riches, fame and fortune, and the wicked desires of our heart. it can block God speaking. He'll just, you know, turn us over to those delusions. We'll go through that too. So the first one is repentance. It says in Isaiah 59 verse 1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. If he'll convict you, with the Holy Ghost, you'll feel conviction, and if you still want to walk in that sin without repenting, he'll hide his face. Like I just said, that's the rubber band. That's as far as you're ever going to get. He's not going to give you any more instruction or guidance or works to do, because you've come to that point where you're being rebellious in your sin, and he won't hear you, you know. And if you're praying to him and he's not responding, you're gonna get sick of praying and you're gonna fall away, and that's through the deceitfulness of sin, you know. In 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. How many times do we get tempted with the lust of the flesh, you know? The lust of the eyes, the pride of life. That's the three main areas where we get tempted, and we end up sinning in those areas. You know, it's not of God, and he wants us to turn away from those things. In James, he puts it like this. You lust and you have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight more, yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. You know, sometimes we're full of covetousness. We believe the preachers that are preaching, God wants you rich. Why haven't you got a big house? Why haven't you got a big car? You know, a new car. Where's your faith? It's got nothing to do with what we got. It's in here. The kingdom of God's, you know, not in meat and drink, but in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's the peace and joy and righteousness what we walk in. That's where God is. So we've got to confess. We've got to repent and confess our sins to God, and then we can walk into his throne room in boldness and put forth our petitions, ask him what we need, and he'll give them to us. When we repent, it says in Hebrews chapter 9, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? When we repent, our consciences are cleaned, and that's when we go and we know, you know, God will remove the conviction of the Holy Ghost, and that's when we go in and speak to him. And to remove that conviction, it says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's all we got to do. We got to confess the sin, and then he'll forgive us, and he'll cleanse us, he'll wash us, and that'll clear our conscience. You've got to listen to your conscience. And in the Word, it says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, which we'll see down the track in when I talk about delusions and deceptions. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. So when your conscience has been seared, there's no more conviction. And if there's no more conviction, then you're not, God stops speaking to you about repentance. He can't get through. You've resisted his conviction until your conscience is so seared like a big scar. It's just numb. Everything's numb and nothing works. And that totally blocks God speaking to you. That will totally block your hearing, and that's, once you're in that state, there's not much more can be done for you. You're going to fall away and probably end up in hell. I would say definitely end up in hell. So you've got to repent for that too. If wherever your conscience is seared, ask God to remove the searing of your conscience. The conviction of our conscience is a blessing to keep us on the right path. And then it says in Hebrews chapter 10, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. That's the throne. That's to come into him, you know, in grace, into his throne of grace and put forth our petitions. Here it is here, 1 John chapter 5. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. So when we claim, when we know we claim, we can go in and ask with confidence and know that he's here. And you know that he's here. And when you claim, when you've done everything you can to, you know, repent and clean up your act, you'll know when you speak, and you'll get you'll get be quickened, and it'll be like a peace and a quickening of your spirit to know that God's heard you and he's going to give you what you need. And if you're not getting that, well, you need to repent. Unforgiveness is another area where, you know, God will just put up with us for so long. I spoke about unforgiveness, I think, in the last one when I had unforgiveness and I thought I had the right to be angry with these people, but I never. And in the end, I got, you know, really sick and God chastised me so much, and then I came to my senses, I repented, I forgave, and I was free. You know, that burden, that blockage, the hindrances, that demonic, you know, escalation of the bitterness and the resentment that was in me was gone, and I was free of it, and it was such a blessing. Because in Matthew chapter 6 it says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And just like we heard, if you're not forgiven, you can't go into his throne room in boldness and ask anything, because you're still in sin, you know. He won't forgive you if you don't forgive others. And it's even worse than that. In Matthew 18, chapter 32, there's a parable that speaks about the unforgiving servant who he was forgiven so much but wouldn't forgive his servant. And then this is how it goes at the end of it, Matthew 18, 32 to 35. Then his Lord, after that he called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due to him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. So we go back to 18:34, and his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors. The tormentors are demons, demonic spirits. They can come, you know, they can make you have lack of sleep. They can make you sick, make you diseased, bring torment and turmoil in your family life. Just whatever God chooses to do, the tormentors will come, and demonic spirits will come and just make your life ugly. And, you know, there's no joy, there's no peace and rest when the tormentors are tormenting. And that comes through unforgiveness, bitterness and resentment. It says in the Bible that lest the root of bitterness, talks about a root of bitterness that defiles many. Many be defiled, you know, and you don't want a root of bitterness, because once it's in there, it's a stronghold that can only be broken, or is so hard to be broken. It needs lots of fasting. All right, to fast 7 days just on water just to break it, you know. And that was after God filled me with the fear of the Lord, and I thought I was going to die. I thought he was going to kill me. That's how scared I was. But anyway, it led me into life, led me into understanding and knowledge of the holy, which is of such a blessing, and I'll never forget it. There's also unbelief. We can walk in unbelief. There's so many people in unbelief. They believe, you know, men get up and preach and they say God doesn't speak to us anymore. He only spoke to the apostles, or he only speaks to those who are like elders or leaders. It's in a lot of the churches. They, you know, they tell you, they make you feel as if, why would God speak to you? That He only speaks to us. And it's in like the Catholic Church where there's a hierarchy, you know, popes and then bishops and then like priests and nuns and whatever stuff that they make out that they're higher than you, where they're not higher than you. If you're a born-again believer in the kingdom of God, you're on exactly the same level as they are. It says there's only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So you don't want to believe them, you know. God does speak, and He's speaking to you. If you're born again, He's speaking to you. And, you know, unbelief, the world's in unbelief, but God's still speaking to them. He's convicting them. It's that conscience within us that still convicts us, even convicts the unbelievers. There's a little spark that God puts in there, even a little that can ignite their faith, and that's that conviction. If God chooses, He just... bang, they're away. That conviction will grow and bring them into the kingdom through repentance, because without repentance, you don't get in. You know, if you're coming in some other way, you're a robber and a thief, as the scripture says. And Hebrews chapter 3 says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Paul says it's an evil heart of unbelief. If you're in unbelief, you don't trust God or believe God, who created the heavens with His word, who created everything, then, you know, that's evil. That's actually wickedness. And unbelief can even lead us into deception, where we don't believe some things, but we're led to believe others, and that'll be enhanced by demonic powers, by witchcraft, mind control, you know, manipulations, intimidations. You know, there's a hyper grace gospel who says that we don't have to repent. We don't have to, you know, God's already done it. Jesus has done a lot. We can do whatever we like. We're saved. We've only got to believe. I mean, that's an absolute lie too. We've got to repent. If we're not walking in repentance and forgiveness, we're not close to God, and that's a fact. And it's like the scripture that says in Isaiah chapter 30, this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits, and that the internet's full of false prophecy, fairy false prophecy, garbage prophecy. Our God's just going to magnify you and glorify you, and you're going to have all the riches of the world and this and that, and you know He loves you so much, and there's nothing you can do wrong to upset Him and all this sort of junk. And they're so deceived. And I tell you something, when the trouble comes and they got to rely on that God that they're preaching and the God that they're believing in, they're going to fall in a hole. And that will go into that later in 2 Thessalonians, where it says there's going to be a great falling away. And it's happening now. The falling away is happening now because of deception. You know, Isaiah 30 verse 1 says, woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, that take counsel but not of me, and that cover with a covering but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down to Egypt and have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. So, you know, that they're taking counsel. They're not coming to God and asking, you know, asking God, what's going on? What's this? What's that? You know, how do I do this? How do I go there? Whatever. But they're asking man. They're running to man. You know, they take counsel, but not of me. And they cover with a covering. Have you ever heard of the covering doctrine in the church? You've got to come under the covering. You've got to do what I tell you. You've got to do what this one tells you. You can't go out from under that covering, or else the devil's going to get you. You've got to be my little porn and no one else. It's a demonic doctrine where, you know, someone, it's just a controlling doctrine and people believe it and they're manipulated, and that witchcraft has got into their mind in the form of fear and fear to make their own decisions, fear to walk out and just find God for themselves, and in the form of unbelief where they're sort of manipulated to believe that God doesn't speak to them. So, and that walk to go down to Egypt, have not asked in my mouth, where they're believing in the world, they're believing. It's like going to the doctors. You know, the doctors before asking God, people get sick, and a lot of sickness is due to sin. A lot of sickness and disease is due to unforgiveness. There's, you know, generational curses, there's witchcraft curses, there's sickness will come from the spirit realm. You know, if your spirit's sick, then your body's going to be sick. It's all, like it says in Romans chapter 8, the Spirit of God will bring a quickening to our mortal bodies. And it's like the spirit of the devil or the demons and that will bring a quickening to our mortal bodies too, the opposite way. So we've got to start cleaning our act up, you know, finding out what's wrong, looking at ourselves before we run to the doctors. Says in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, and Asa in the 39th year of his reign was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord but to the physicians. And Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 41st year of his reign. That was it. He went to the doctors, didn't ask God. God would have told him, do this, do that, you know, if his life was right. But he didn't even... through his unbelief, he just, God wouldn't tell me what to do. But unlike the woman who had the flow of blood that tried everything, I think it was for 16 years, or tried everything for so many years, spent all that she had on doctors, then went to Jesus. The first time she went to Jesus, he healed her. You know, and sometimes it works like that, straight away. So you can't let... You're putting man before God, you know, there's a price to pay. And in Revelation chapter 9:21, it says, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. And we'll look at this word sorcery. Sorcery in Greek is pharmakia, which means medication, that is magic, sorcery, witchcraft. And in the Thayer definition, it says the use of the administering of drugs, poisoning, sorcery, magical arts, often found in connection with idolatry and fostered by it. Metaphorically, the deceptions and seductions of idolatry. How many people, especially the oldies, you see that have got something wrong with them and they're living on, you know, I've seen oldies that they're living on like a dozen pills before breakfast, then more for dinner, then more for tea, and nothing's getting healed. And they're expecting that to be the magic bullet that'll just slay every enemy of their body, every enemy of their mind, you know, and it doesn't. I mean, you see people that are like zombies that have gone into hospitals, and the church is doing this too when they're suffering depression and anxiety. There's a reason. There's a reason, usually because of sin and unforgiveness. Remember what we said about the tormentors. Try forgiving, try repenting, and try fasting. Go to God. Don't go to them tablets, because I'll tell you something, once you're on them tablets, you'll have a very hard time of getting off them. And once you're on them tablets, God won't talk to you anymore. You put your faith in those tablets, God won't talk to you anymore, and deliverance ministers can't dig those demons out, whatever they are, that made you run to them tablets, because you put your faith, you chose to put your faith in those things. And see where it says, you know, it's idolatry. It's in connection with idolatry. You make doctors, I mean, the doctors are trained by the pharmaceutical companies that are flogging these pills. They know nothing about natural cures, natural stuff. you go to a car care place and you want oil for your car, and they pick it, you pick up a book and say, right, this is the oil for that car. That's all they're doing. They're dishing out tablets like that. And it's demonic. It's absolutely demonic. So you run into the doctors, you know, you're looking for trouble. Deception. We'll go into deception in 2 Thessalonians. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. You know, there's a coming, a falling away from the faith that people are in already, a falling away from believing, because you know, they've been deceived by a wrong gospel, by a different spirit, by, you know, oh, you haven't got enough faith, or, you know, don't worry about sin, that guilt and condemnation you're suffering, it's not real, you know, don't worry about shame, it's not real, you know. They're not being taught about repentance to cleanse us of unrighteousness. This is 2 Thessalonians 2:4, who the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Right, this son of perdition will sit in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, this is Paul speaking, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, he says, know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? In this way, he's saying that there's another spirit that can enthrone itself in our temple and say that he is God, pretend that he is God, and it's a different spirit. It's the spirit, you know, it's an antichrist spirit. And we can be filled with that instead of filled with the true Spirit of God. And as it says here, 2 Corinthians 11:4, for if he comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, there it is, which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, you might well bear with him. And he says there, you can receive another spirit, and that's the spirit that's coming, you know, to make people fall away, and it's through the deception that's bringing them to fall away. And, you know, we'll go further, 2 Thessalonians 2:9-12. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power of signs and lying wonders. You know, the Pentecostal church especially are running, and the Catholic church running after Mary this and Mary that and bleeding statues and that. But the Pentecostal church, they're jumping around, barking, running around, jumping up and down, patting each other on the back, you know. And, you know, angel feathers, gold dust, you know, all this sort of junk. And they love it. They love it. They flock to it. I know so many that went overseas to America, to ministries over there, to get involved in this. And they've got nowhere. They're stuck. It's a spirit they receive that just brings such blockages into their life and starts to torment after a while. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. The love of the truth is repentance. Repentance is the truth. Repentance opens the door. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You know, they're looking for shortcuts. Shortcuts won't get you to God. Shortcuts in the bookshop, shortcuts in the ministry, chasing prophets, chasing, you know, everything that's just useless, worthless. I taught about that in the last video. And they got no discernment. They can't discern whether it's God doing the work or whether it's not. And they don't even bother asking, because their lives, you know, they hear so much about the miracles of God, they wonder why they're not in their life. So they, any miracle, any weird thing, any supernatural event, they're giving themselves over to it. Like in the book Acts chapter 8 verse 9, there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And we've seen that so many times in a, you know, there's a fella in Nigeria, TB Joshua, he does mighty miracles, but he's receiving his power from the devil. And there's other people that doing this and doing that, and, you know, the devil can heal too, you know. There's always, you're always trading down with the devil. You're getting healed by him. He'll give you something in return. He might heal heal your crook leg, but he'll give you cancer instead, or whatever. You start playing around with the devil, you're going to get into trouble. And 2 Corinthians chapter 11 says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So, you know, if we turn ourselves over to these people who are pretending to be something that they're not, then, and start listening to them without testing them, without searching the word, without asking God, God won't speak to us. God will just let us be turned over to our own, you know, delusions, or he'll turn us over to our own delusions. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Right, rebellion, you know, we can go into rebellion. God can tell us to do something and we can do it to a certain extent, and then we think, nah, that's enough, we'll just do something else. That is rebellion. In the Old Testament, that got, you know, that got Saul, took the anointing away from Saul, and then God gave it to David. And we'll read about that in James chapter 4. It says, therefore, to him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. God's a lot more gracious. He, you know, there's a lot of us, we never seem to push through and overcome and find the perfect will of God for our life. We're not even interested in the knowledge of his will and knowing what he wants us to do. We're more interested in having our ears tickled and trying to use God, treat God as Santa Claus and get it all, you know, our everything that we desire in the flesh, we want that, you know, thrown in our lap. But so, you know, this is an extreme cases where God's, you know, give the order and they haven't done what they've been told, and they've suffered for it. So here we go in Samuel 15, 2 and 3. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. So God said to Saul, go in and just wipe them out. Everything that moves, everything that breathes, wipe them out. You know, because it was such, they were such demonically, you know, possessed, even through, as the pigs were possessed by legion in the New Testament, these Old Testament places, they were so possessed, so demonized, that everything had to be slain, you know, just to rid the land from their filth and their corruption. So anyway, in 1 Samuel chapter 15 verse 18, we pick it up again. And the Lord sent thee in a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them. This is Samuel talking to Saul. And fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then did thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but did fly upon the spoil, and did evil in the sight of the Lord. Saul went in there, you know, he done it, he obeyed to a certain extent, but then he took the riches, the cows, the sheep, everything that was good, and he took them, and this is what he said. And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal, which was a load of crap. They took it because they wanted it, saying, look, gimme, 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 here we go, we're laughing. And Saul didn't kill the king, he brought him alive, you know. So it was a... you know, a twisting of the word of God, the direction of God, what he wanted him to go, and God wasn't happy. And anyway, then Samuel said in verse 22 and 23, as the Lord has great delight in burnt offering and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. It's like we can give all everything that we have, you know, and everything that we are to God, and say, he used this, take this. But if we don't do what he wants us to do, if we don't do what he tells us to do, then he calls that, listen to what he calls that, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And we know God hates, absolutely abhors witchcraft. So to rebel against the commandments of God is a stench in his nostrils. You know, absolutely just... you're looking for trouble, you start doing that. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. How many times has he told us to do something and we've been stubborn? I do it too many times. I've done it. I've learnt not to do it. I've learnt not to rebel. I try to do the best I can, you know, when he gives me the word to do this, do that. The best I can, I still fall, you know, and that's where the grace comes in. But I repent. I want to... we have an excellent spirit. I want to, you know, be determined to do the right thing, and we just got to overcome those weaknesses within us, and not be rebellious, and not be stubborn, not say, no, I couldn't be bothered doing that, I'm not doing that, that's a load of crap, you know. We can't walk like that. He's not going to talk to us, he's just going to give us the flick. And then it says, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, that he has also rejected thee from being king. How many doors has God shut in your face because of your stubbornness, because of your rebellion, or even mine, you know? So there's another story about a rebellious prophet in 1 Kings chapter 13 who got the word to go and deliver a word. And he said, don't stop by the way, don't... take any food or drink or anything, go and do the job and then go home. In the end, a fella came up and conned him into, said, oh, I'm a prophet too, and an angel came in and, you know, come and have a feed, come and have a drink, stay the night. And anyway, the fella got sucked into doing it, and anyway, a lion killed him. So it can be even dangerous to be rebellious and stubborn. And then, you know, there's the absolute delusion is that I've heard so many people, there's so much prophecy, so much false prophecy in the church. I grew, like, come into the Pentecostal church. I was in there for 4 or 5 years, and everyone seemed to be a prophet. There was prophecies flying around left, right, and center, and you knew most of them were junk, or you swallowed some of them too, saying, oh, that's good, because they puffed you up, they made out that you were something that you were not, and there was good things, you know, you're going to be this, going to be that, whatever they were, you know, God's, and they're all saying, God's saying this, I feel God's saying that, and then, you know, some people just continually say that, and sometimes I ask them, oh, yeah, if God's saying that, what's the devil saying? And they look at you as if, oh, the devil don't talk to me, I don't hear the devil. it's unbelievable how they don't even believe, you know, they believe that God can speak to them so much and the devil just doesn't say anything. It's like Satan will speak to us and sow the thoughts, and then once our train of thought goes down that path, then he'll start adding to them, whether it's pride, you know, self-righteousness, whether it's temptation, whether it's even like bitterness, resentment. He'll just start, you know, putting up a name or putting up a face, and then, you know, just getting you to into unforgiveness about that, whatever it is. He's sowing those thoughts in there, you know. And it's the same with false prophecy. It's the same with the false gifts. He'll puff us up, and then he'll fill us full of lies and delusion. You know, the Word of God says in Isaiah 64:6, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. So, you know, our righteousness is without the, if we're doing works and God's not in it, our righteousness is filthy rags. It means nothing. It's even you know, we're doing our own good works, you know, it's a disgrace in the eyes of God. He calls them filthy rags. And he says in Isaiah 66, I will also choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When I spoke, they did not hear, but they did evil before my eyes and chose that in which I delighted not. So he's calling and they don't answer, and he's speaking and they don't hear because they're deluded in their own way, and that still small voice, it can't be heard because Satan is speaking, you know, high and mighty things, vain imaginations, which we got to cast down. That's why we got to learn to take our thoughts captive. We got to, you know, what you need to do is just sit there and watch what comes into your head. They're either coming from you, they're coming from God, or they're coming from the devil. And it don't take long before we see things just jumping into our head. And we got to resist them. We got to check our own motives out. What are my motives? What are the motives that drive me or lead me to do this or do that? Is it for me? Is it for my glory? Or is it for the glory of God? You got to check those motives all the time. Take your thoughts captive. There was a man called Abimelech who slew 70 men to become a leader. And he thought that was a good idea. And then it says, then God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the man of Shechem. And the man of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech. You start mucking around and doing your own thing, thinking it's God, like as in the sins of presumption, having presumption, presuming to do what God wants. But, you know, it's not him. That's a sin. And anyway, God sent an evil spirit. You know, don't think God won't smite you with demons. He uses them for his own purposes too. And the delusion, even in these days and the days that are coming, in John chapter 16 verse 2, says, they shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time comes that whoever kills you will think he does God's service. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. How much offence is in the churches? They're splitting here and there. They're running here and there. They're judging and they're criticising and they're condemning, you know. And I've done it myself. You fall into the trap, and it's not that hard to fall into. We've just got to learn to keep our mouth shut, you know. And these people who are, you know, left in there, I believe a lot of the churches who use God separating the tares from the wheat, the wheat's moved out. They've gone into the wilderness where God can plead with them face to face. He's called them out, and the ones that are left, they're the ones that are so deluded, stuck up in their own little, you know, forms of reality that are just so full of that deception. And It's getting ugly. Things are getting ugly. Things are getting dangerous in the kingdom of God. And it's probably always been the same, you know. the more we see, you know, the more says in the book of Ecclesiastes, through much wisdom is much grief, and he that increases knowledge increases sorrow. So that the older you get, the more in the Lord, you know, or the stronger you get, the more you see, and the more you just shake your head, and, you know, it's a burden. But imagine what sort of burden it is for God, who can see the whole lot. You know, and in Matthew 7:21, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You know, there it is. That's the church doing their own good works, full of self-promotion, full of vainglory, you know, looking for recognition and, you know, position. And even they can work in the power and authority, but they're not doing it in the name of God. They're not doing it, well, they're doing it in the name of Jesus, but not for Jesus, for themselves. And Jesus said, you know, I never knew you, depart from me. And that would be a horrific thing to hear on the day of judgment, that, because that's the end, that's it. There's one more thing that'll block us, you know, covetousness. There's the love of money is the root of all evil. No man can serve two masters. Now, this is interesting, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon's the spirit. Mammon's the demon of money is mammon. They call he's a demon. And people who love money, they serve him, and they love money. The Pharisees love money, you know. So we got to learn not to love money. And you cannot, for either we will hate the one and love the other. We can't love Jesus and love money. We can't want money, be chasing money, and love God. You know, you cannot serve God and mammon. Because, and this is what Jesus says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? So there's lots of blockages, lots of hindrances, you know, there's so many more we could go through. But that'll do. You get the point. We just got to be honest. We got to be, you know, we just got to test ourselves, look at ourselves as in a mirror, and not walk away forgetting what we've seen. And, you know, so I just pray for you. I just pray, Father. I just ask you, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, to open up the ears of the people that got this far through the video. In Jesus' name, open their ears, God, open their ears, in Jesus' name, open their ears and open their eyes to see. Let them hear your voice, God. Let them see your way, see the path you've laid out for them, in Jesus' name. Bless them, God. Bless them with abundance of life, abundance of hearing, abundance of seeing, understanding, wisdom. Let them know the knowledge of your will, God, in all spiritual understanding, Father. In Jesus' name, I bind up all blockages. I bind all hindrances. Every spirit that's of mind control, every spirit that's blind, and spirits of slumber and laziness and slothfulness that's blocking the voice of God, blocking him from getting through to you. In Jesus' name. I just pray, Father, that you bless them, give them favor, lead them into the paths of righteousness, God. Lead them down that narrow path that leads to life, and get them off that broad path that leads to destruction. In Jesus' name, speak to them, God. Speak to them words of life, words of truth. I loose spirit of truth onto them. I loose favor. I loose your grace upon them right now. In Jesus' name, I loose the fire of God to burn up the chaff. Burn up the chaff within them right now. Burn up the chaff. Burn up the chaff with Holy Ghost fire, that unquenchable fire of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, Father, clear away the nets that have been slung for their feet, God. bring them out of the snares, pull them out of the pits in the name of Jesus Christ. Break down the walls that have been built up around their mind that are stopping the truth from flowing into them in Jesus' name. Break the hedges, break the bars, break the gates right now. I command the gates, the bars to be broken in Jesus' name. I command the hedges to be burnt, the ones that are blocking God from speaking right now. Father, I just pray, let your word flow. Let your word flow in Jesus' name. Let your life flow into their hearts, into their minds, into their body, soul, and spirit in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Bless them.